West Coast College Training, July 4th through 11th, Occidental, California. Title, Christ Our Portion. Morning Session 1, Message 2, Receiving the Word of Christ. Scripture reading, Colossians 3, 16 through 17.
So let's read the title of this training all together. Christ Our Portion! Hallelujah! Christ is our portion!
Amen.
Isn't it so wonderful last night? We saw Christ is the all-inclusive one.
Amen.
He's the one of preeminence.
Amen.
He's extensive.
Amen.
He covers everything in the universe.
Amen.
So today we'd like to learn to live union with this one.
Amen.
Isn't it good last night we heard? We need to be living under the influence.
Amen.
Well, how can you live under the influence of Christ? Well, yesterday we saw we need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate within our heart. Well, today we come to this message based on Colossians 3:16. It says we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen.
Well, so let's read the title of this message all together under learning to live in union with Christ.
Receiving the word of Christ.
Amen. We need to be here receiving the word of Christ. Okay, let's read Roman numeral all together. Number one, concerning our union
with Christ in Colossians. Paul tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen. So in Colossians 3:16, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
Well, I really appreciate, if you look at Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 2, you really see that Christ is the all-inclusive one.
Amen.
And then you come to chapter 3, Paul's emphasis is, you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, I'd like to just go back a little bit, and let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians you could consider as a sister book to Colossians. And Paul uses one phrase to talk about this all-inclusive one. And he said, the unsearchable riches of Christ. In chapter 3, he said the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, Christ is so rich!
Amen.
So in chapter 3, he says Christ needs to make home in our hearts.
Amen.
That eventually we may become the fullness of God.
Amen.
So here in Colossians, Paul has shown us how rich this Christ is. But instead of saying that Christ needs to make his home in our hearts, he said the word of Christ needs to dwell in us. So the word of Christ dwelling in us equals Christ making his home in our hearts. And when this word is dwelling in us in a rich way, this equals the riches of Christ. So in a simple way, you could say to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is to let the word, which contains all the riches of Christ, to dwell in us in such a way that we're nourishing and enjoying this word, enjoying this one, that we're just filled with his riches.
Amen.
Well, when I was younger, every time I hear this word, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, I just think of, well, I need to memorize the word. Right? Even in this training, we are telling you to memorize the word. But I hope, you wouldn't fall under this trap. Actually, to let the word dwell in you richly is not merely to memorize the word. Actually, like the song we sang, it's to feed on the word.
Amen.
We want this rich word to become something that's so supplying, so strengthening, and so nourishing to us. Okay. So let's, at this point, I'd like to share a little bit. If you look at Matthew 4:4, the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but he should live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
So, you see here, the word is likened to our food, right? It's very interesting. Actually, the apostle Peter, in 1 Peter, he says, we need to be nourished by the guileless milk of the word. Even the apostle Paul in Hebrews and also in 1 Corinthians, he said, we are no longer infants drinking the milk, but we also need to move on to eat the solid word, solid food. So we need to have a new realization of what the word is. Actually, the word is a food to us. I've been considering this is really awesome. So every time we open the Bible, what is the Bible to you? Is it a textbook? Is it a book of stories? Surely there's a lot of stories in the Bible. Well, is it a word of just mere prophesying, of foretelling what's going to happen in the future? You know, we know in the Old Testament there's a lot of prophecies. Well, is the word merely just some good teaching to you? I hope this week, after our sharing, you'll realize every time you open the word, it's a feast spread before you.
Amen.
You want some good breakfast? The word!
Amen.
You want dessert? Bring out your memorization sheet. Not to memorize, but to eat!
Amen.
This is what the word is to us. Okay, so let's read point A. The word of Christ is a word spoken by Christ. According to John 6:63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life."
Amen.
You know, in God's economy, God is speaking in the Son.
Amen.
According to Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, God is speaking in the Son. And so he's speaking in the Son in the Gospels, but he's speaking through his members, the apostles and prophets, and all the epistles. So you could consider the entire New Testament as the word of Christ. So we need to just eat the word. Since this is a training, I'd like to encourage you guys to all just get into the word. Even this matter of reading the word, we need to take this as a legal way. You know, read the word every day. Read it chapter by chapter, consecutively, from Matthew all the way to Revelation, and from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Don't take this in a loose way. Brothers and sisters, we need to eat it in a legal way. I use this word legal because concerning our spiritual life, there are certain things that we have to do. Well, let me ask you, did you brush your teeth this morning? I hope all of you guys would say yes! Well, in our human life, we need to brush our teeth. Right? This is something that's normal. It's healthy for us. Well, in the same way, in the spiritual life, there are certain things that we need to do that is so crucial to our health. I'd like to bring you again to the word in Matthew 4:4. The Lord said, "Man shall not live on bread alone." Well, in our human life, if you don't eat, if you eat because you feel like it, I could guarantee you, you'll be malnourished. You'll be sick. If you want to be healthy, eat every day.
Amen.
Eat at least 3 meals, or maybe 5. You know, sometimes they said eating 5 meals is good for us. But so in the same way, the Lord said we need to live on the word that proceed out of God's mouth.
Amen.
So we know all scripture is God-breathed.
Amen.
So we need to be here breathing in the word. So we shouldn't read the word just because we feel like it. We shouldn't read the word because, you know, I'm stirring you up to read the word and that's why you read it. Actually, we need to read the word every day. Here I have 8 functions of the word. Maybe you want to write these down, but this is so enlightening to see how this word, as we're reading it in a proper way, it's so good to us. So the first function I have is the word enlightens. Right? Psalm 119:130, it says, "The opening of your words gives light."
Amen.
You want light? Joel today talked about light. Well, come to the word.
Amen.
Okay, the second function, the word nourishes, right? If you're hungry, you feel like inwardly you're not satisfied, well, come to the word.
Amen.
Number 3, the word quenches our thirst. Okay, I like to read this verse in Isaiah 55. I really like it. Okay, this is verses 10 and 11. So, "For just as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there until it waters the earth, and makes it bear and sprout forth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth."
Amen.
So the word is the rain. The word is the snow that comes down to water the earth of our heart. So you want to quench your thirst? Come to the word.
Amen.
Okay, point 4. The word strengthens. According to Psalm 119:28, the word is strengthening to us. Point 5, the word washes. According to Ephesians 5, it says there's washing in the water of the word. So you realize as you're just reading the word, something goes on within us, right? It just washes us. It washes the fibers of our being. Okay, point 6, the word builds up. Here, the building up is actually in a corporate way. How could we be built up with one another? Well, not by our opinions, not by our philosophies, but when we come to the Word has a way to speak to us and cause us to be built with one another. Okay, verse 7, point 7, the Word completes and it perfects. Right, according to 1 Timothy 3:17, well, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Verse 17 says, that the men of God may be complete and perfect. And point 8, the Word edifies. You know, as we're enjoying the Word, Christ with all His rich attributes are dispensed into us. These things edifies us. It causes us to be full of the virtues of Christ. Okay, so we need to read the Word. But we need to move on. That's just the initial stage. We need to read. But now we would like to talk about, you know, while you're reading, you want to read it in a way, in a proper way, that you could really, really receive the Word into you. Okay, so let's read point B altogether.
Filled with the Word.
And we need to be filled with this Word.
Amen.
So let's circle the word, we should allow. We need to allow the Word to dwell in us.
Amen.
There's no problem with the Word like we saw, right? There's all these functionings of the Word. But the problem is with us. Are we properly receiving the Word? Are we allowing the Word to dwell in us? Okay, so point one, it says, for the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly, means that it has adequate room in us to permeate and saturate our whole being. Underline that phrase, adequate room. Brothers and sisters, do you give the Lord the adequate room? I was considering, you know, what does it mean to give the Lord the adequate room? Well, it really means, are you giving the Word the first place in your being? Or are you giving yourself the first place? For example, maybe David here, he's reading, you know, Matthew chapter 5, and it said, blessed are the merciful. And so the Lord speaks to him, David, you know that brother that offended you? Will you be merciful to him? Well, are you going to give the Word the room? Are you going to say, no, Lord, the brother, he offended me. Did you know what he did? Well, that means you're giving yourself the room and not the Word. Well, we need to learn. Every time we come to the Word and the Lord speak to us, when the Lord shines something in the Word, we need to just learn, amen, Lord. Amen to the Word.
Amen.
I'd like to give the Word the adequate room.
Amen.
Okay, let's read point two altogether. Amen. So here, circle the word again. Let. We want to let the word dwell. Actually, the word is just so wonderful. Here we have Psalm 119, 130. It says, the opening of your words gives light, imparting understanding to the simple. I really like this word, opening. In Hebrew, this word opening means an opening like a gate, right? The gate needs to open. And so it denotes that there is an entrance that we need to enter into. So it's not that every time we just open the Word, that if there's light. But actually in our spirit, we need to pray ourselves into the Word. And when we enter into the Word is open to us.
Amen.
And there is light.
Amen.
Well, I want to go on to this other verse in Jeremiah 23, 28. There's a couple more functions of the Word here. So here the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, and he said, he's likening his word to the words of these false prophets. So verse 25, he says, I have heard what the prophets say, who prophesies falsehood in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. So verse 28, it says, the prophet who has dreamed, let him tell the dream. And he with whom is my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the straw to the grain, declares Jehovah. Is not my word thus, like fire, declares Jehovah? and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Did you know the Word of God is grain? Wow. It's the best whole grain. Right? You want to be healthy? Forget about whole foods. Eat the real food. The Word of God is a real grain. Here it says, a footnote, on the positive side, the Word of God as a grain of wheat dispenses God as life into us to nourish us. So every time we come to the Word is grains to us. Well, on the negative side, it says the Word is fire and hammer. So what does that mean? That means every time we come to the Word as fire burns within us and burns away all the negative elements. And as a hammer, it's smashing us. Not like a I was thinking not in a very painful way, but, you know, it replaces all of our concepts. It breaks down all of our concepts. So we need to let the Word dwell in us so we could replace all the concepts that we have in our being. What kind of concepts do we have? I really appreciate my wife was telling me. The greatest concept that we have is we think we're the most normal person in the universe. You know, don't you just feel that way? I'm the most normal person in the world. And everybody I look around, they're just so weird. Right? You know, that brother is peculiar and that sister is odd. Well, we need the concepts to be replaced.
Amen.
How can we live in union with Christ? How can we enjoy Christ our portion? How can we live in the body life with all these concepts? Well, we need the Word of Christ to replace them all.
Amen.
Let's read point three in a prayerful way to the Lord. I really like this prayer. We need to pray, Lord Jesus, I am willing to let go of my concepts. I want your Word to have ground in me. Sisters, let's pray this. Brothers,
Lord Jesus, I am willing to let go of my concepts. I want your Word to have ground in me.
Amen. This is such a good prayer. Lord, I want to let go of my concepts. I want your Word to have ground in me. So now we come to the real burden of this message, point C and D. Point C, it says, we need to pray, read the Word, receiving the Word of God by means of all prayer and petition. According to Ephesians 6:17, I think we're all very familiar with this word, says we need to receive the Word of God by means of all prayer and petition. But my main burden here is this matter of by means of all prayer and petition. You know, sometimes we fall into this routine. Every time we hear, oh, pray reading, we just think of, oh, I know how to pray read, right? It says, okay, let's see. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we say, oh, let the Word of Christ dwells in me richly. Oh, in me richly. Well, that's good. You know, we should practice the prayer in such a way, exercise our spirit to strike the Spirit in the Word. But we need to learn to pray by means of all prayers. There is a particular word in Psalm 119 that I really appreciate. This word is simple. It's muse. M-U-S-E. We need to muse upon the Word. Actually, in Psalm 119, the psalmist used it probably around 7 times, that they mused upon the Word. He mused. You know, he anticipated the dawn and mused. What does it mean to muse? The Hebrew definition is to worship, to pray, to worship God. Okay, it says to converse with oneself and to speak out loud. Sometimes I feel like our prayer reading is too quiet. You know, in our morning times, don't be so quiet. We need to muse over the Word. We need to pray. We need to give praise. We need to converse with ourselves, with the Lord. We need to speak out loud. You know, if you go around, if you're too quiet, it's really easy just to fall asleep. You know, I know that's my experience. I really hope, you know, in this training, we didn't learn some doctrines, but I want you guys to practice. You know, practice to enter into these things. Practice to muse on the Word. Actually, there's another English equivalent of this word, and that's to ruminate. to chew the cud. Like a cow, you know, he's eating, he'll chew it over and over again. Throughout the day, he'll chew it. He'll actually spit it back up and chew it some more. You know, this is what we need to do with the word. We need to chew it, really enjoy it. Well, anyway, the news is very all-inclusive. You know, it means that when we come to the word, we need to come in a way with the atmosphere of prayer, right? Every word that we read, we just pray it back to the Lord. I'd like to share a little bit from this book, Lord Thou Says. I know we have mentioned it in the past trainings, but I believe we have a lot of younger ones with us, and you might not have read this book. The other day, I read this whole book, and it's just so good to be reminded. You know, this matter of prayer reading is not a new invention, right? It's in the Word. Actually, throughout the centuries, Christians have been practicing this. You know, it's been lost. We rediscovered it, and we're enjoying it.
Amen.
Right? So I really like this one particular one. This past year, I've been trying to practice, and it's been really good. And this is what Martin Luther said. You know, so Martin Luther was born in 1483, so this is a long time ago. Here it says, "So one may remain at every little verse in the Bible, and as Luther says, knock on every little twig, whether there will be some berries that would fall off. Should the beginning one think is somewhat difficult, and should the prayer not flow at once, one may go on to try the same on another twig. If the soul is only hungry, the Spirit of God will not leave it undernourished. It will finally be found that the man will see so many living fruit in one small verse that he will remain there and settle as under a tree richly laden." You know, this year I've been practicing. I just started in Matthew 1:1. I told the Lord I'll just pray with you through the entire New Testament. Verse by verse, twig by twig. So I went, you know, verse 1, little twig, I was knocking, praying. Maybe there's not a whole lot of flow, and let's move on. To my surprise, I got to Matthew 1:6. Okay, 1:6, it's not a big verse. It says, "And Jesse begot David the king." For some reason, David the king. Wow, I found fruit!
Amen.
I found berries!
Amen.
Oh, I just sat there and just enjoyed the king!
Amen.
Christ is the king!
Amen.
Wow, that was so rich. Anyway, may we just practice, right? Every verse. Every verse is good. If you don't feel like the Spirit is flowing, there's no berries, it's okay, move on. Knock on some other twigs. Soon enough, you're fine. If you're hungry, there will be berries for you.
Amen.
Here it says, "However, whosoever in the beginning is frightened by it and considers it to be too difficult for him, and he cannot read the scripture in this manner, it is his own fault, that during his entire life, he never gains true joy and pleasure in the scripture." Brothers and sisters, it is your own fault that if you have never discovered the true joy in the word. May we practice to enjoy.
Amen.
Okay, another one. I really appreciate George Whitefield. It says this is a practice he started in college and continued all his life. So brothers and sisters, you are all in college. So this is a practice that you should start. He says, he laid aside all other books and he began to read the Holy Scriptures. He says, "Praying over, if possible, every line and word, this proved meat indeed and drink indeed to my soul. I daily receive fresh life, light, and power from above." Prayed every line. Pray every word.
Amen.
I like this one. Hannah White O. Smith in 1832. Okay, I practice a lot this one because this is really easy to practice. She said, "If we will dwell upon his words and say them over and over to ourselves and thoroughly take in and assimilate their meaning in a common sense sort of way, we shall find our soul life is fed and nourished by them. Say the words over to yourself with all the power you can muster." Doesn't that sound like exercising the spirit over the word?
Yeah.
Just all your power, right?
All the power.
Okay, and then she described what she does. Then repeat the words with a different emphasis each time. Here it says, the Lord is my shepherd. So she said, the Lord is my shepherd. 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 Okay, let's practice this right now. Let's try with Colossians 3:16. Let's just use this little phrase. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let's just go through it with your whole being and emphasize one word at a time. Ready? Go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell you in richly. Let the word of Christ dwell you in richly. Let the word of Christ dwell you in richly. Let the word of Christ dwell you in richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Isn't that so sweet?
Amen.
So in my morning time, often I do this, phrase by phrase. And whenever there's light, you just pray it back to the Lord and you move on. Just enjoy every single word. And you'll find every word is so sweet. Well, I really like George Mueller, and this is 1805. It says, by means of all prayer and petition. So why don't we pray the word with all prayers? Have you ever considered to pray for your friends by the word? To intercede by the word? Here it says, I began therefore to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning. When thus I have been for a while making confession or intercession or supplication, or having given thanks, I go on to the next words or verse, turning all as I go on into prayer for myself or others. Did you know when you're praying, reading the word, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. You could pray, Lord, dwell in me richly. Lord, dwell in my companions richly. How about that new one, Lord? Dwell in him richly. Amen. Cause him to enjoy your word in such a rich way.
Amen.
By all means, right? All sorts of prayers. Okay, it says, as a word may lead to it, but still continually keeping before me that food. The word needs to be food to us. There's just so much more, but I'll just pause here. I hope we really enter into this practice, brothers and sisters. We need to pray. Enjoy the word.
Amen.
Maybe we could read the focus together and we'll make a transition.
Amen.
By giving the word,
Lord Jesus.
Amen. And by
praying
and seeing the word.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Give the word the adequate room.
Amen.
I was touched with this point. Adequate room. Amen. So much. It's crucial to let the word of Christ enter into us.
Amen.
I appreciate this word let. Right? We also saw it with a matter of peace. Right? And let the peace of Christ. The word let means it's there already. You just have to let. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
The word is in us to a certain extent. But can we say the word is in me richly?
Amen.
Richly.
Amen.
So how about we look at Colossians 3:16. I don't know if you haven't had this as your memory verse yet, but how about Colossians 3:16. Brothers on 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
So we're here to let the word dwell in us richly.
Amen.
And I just appreciated three things. First, I think the burden in this time is that we would realize that God is life and His desire is to dispense Himself into us.
Amen.
Well, how does He do this? He does this through the Word. He does this through His speaking. So we have to see that God is the Word. And also, God is the Spirit.
Amen.
So I just appreciate Brother Sean bringing out, you know, this matter of pray reading, right? How much do we realize that? Why do we pray read? We pray read because God wants to be dispensed into us. We're not just coming to the Word in a way of teaching to get some truth. But we want to receive the element of God that's in the Word.
Amen.
God is the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? And He is conveyed to us in the Word. What is the Word? The Word is the embodiment of Christ.
Amen.
The Word is the embodiment of the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? And the Spirit conveys the divine element to us.
Amen.
So I think if we realize that we Christians, we have the Bible not as a book of teaching, but as a book that conveys God's element into us.
Amen.
The Bible is such a book. And if we realize this, whenever we have the Word, when we open it, maybe not all the time, in my experience, not all the time, but I realize there's nourishment. There's nourishment in this book, in the Bible. So we need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen.
I appreciate this word, richly. Richly is in many ways. You know, we'll see, pray reading is just one way. Maybe that's how you touch the Word. Maybe, well, one way is just to read it, to memorize verses, to get the Word into us. You know, this is crucial. We need to even do this in a legal way, right? We need to read the Bible consecutively. You may jump around. Actually, saints, the best way to read the Word is to read it consecutively.
Amen.
All the way through. And then when you get to Revelation, when you get to, maybe if you're reading through the Old Testament, you finish. My thought is sometimes is, whew, all right, take a break. Well, rest a little while, maybe take a week or two, and then maybe I'll start over. But actually, you get to the end, you just start over. It's a very good practice. We need to make this a habit in our daily life. That's one way. Another way, memorize the verses. We need to be constituted. Surely we need this. Another way is to pray read the Word.
Amen.
And when we pray read the Word, we're not coming to the Word to get some kind of understanding, to understand some points, right? But we want to get God's element. God's element into us. That's why we pray. That's why these ones in the Bible, these ones from history. You know, pray reading is not a new invention, right? But this is something, it's a discovery that brings us into the enjoyment of the riches of Christ.
Amen.
But we'll see through this outline, there's other ways to let the Word dwell in you richly.
Amen.
So, more riches.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. Okay, D, how about we have the sisters read D?
We need to read the Word, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen.
All
right. Amen. And this is what I appreciate in this. You can underline richly. Richly. Right? I mean, we want a rich deposit. You know, growing up, I grew up in the church life. I went to called Summer School of the Truth or like a Bible camp for a week. And I got a lot of deposit of the Word. You know, we'd memorize verses and I got some memorization. I got some, it's constitution into me. And I exercise my spirit, calling on the Lord. But how rich was it? Was it really rich? You know, I realized it was. At that time, even in my spiritual growth and my time of life, it was rich. But eventually, I found out that, eventually I stopped reading the Bible. I still would call on the Lord. I still would come to the meetings. I would sing. I would maybe pray with some verses in the morning. But eventually, I found out my Christian life began to suffer. Actually, my freshman and sophomore year in college, I don't even think I was a glowing ember. I think I was just black coal. What happened? I stopped reading the Bible. I would participate in the church life as a kind of formality. You know, I would go to the conferences, but then I got a job that I worked on the weekends. So I stopped going to meetings on the Lord's Day because I had to work. Initially, my boss wouldn't let me have it off. But, he eventually found out I was a Christian. And so he said, well, I'll work it out to where you can switch with this other one every other week, and you can have two Lord's days off a week. But you know what happened? I had stopped reading the Bible. I had stopped pray reading the Bible. I had a anyway, a group of friends that I thought were the standard. And so I was trying to emulate them, imitate them, be one with them. And they wanted nothing to do with the Bible. Eventually, I just said, you know what, it's okay. If I don't get a Lord's Day off, it's okay. And so then whenever, if I got a Lord's Day, I would go. Sometimes I wouldn't. The point is, my Christian life suffered. My freshman and sophomore year. One thing I just realized about the sharing, I was so touched yesterday with the brothers. Just realize, you know, we older ones, we experience some things. On the one hand, they're negative, but on the other hand, they're for you. You know, we go through things, so we can experience, we can appreciate, we can learn the lessons so that you don't have to go through the same things. Right? You can begin at an earlier age being filled with the riches of Christ.
Amen.
So eventually, you know, I picked up a lot of worldly enjoyment, a lot of worldly concepts, philosophies. You know, I just exposed myself a little bit. I had a concept that, you know, I was very much controlled by music. And I had my music and I just thought, you know what? When I get married, my wife better like this band. Because it's not going to work if she doesn't. If she doesn't like this, she better like me this way. This is what I like. A lot of concepts. This concept crept in. I don't know where it came from. That the meetings, they're not so enjoyable. And I don't want to be in meetings for eternity. So I don't know if I want that. Maybe I should go out into the world and enjoy myself for a little bit. Because, I don't know. I mean, that's just, where did that come from? It came from, I stopped reading the Word. I stopped being enriched with the Word. You know, 1 Timothy 4:6, I hope you would take this verse, pray, read it. Being nourished, even just this little phrase, being nourished.
Amen.
With the words of the faith.
Amen.
So I share my testimony because I touched something. It's for something later in the outline, but eventually, I just realized, you know what, Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I believe in God. I can't deny there's a God. I love the Lord Jesus. I would call on the Lord, but I just felt there was nothing there. But eventually I realized, I want to be up front. If I can't do something in front of the saints, in front of Christians, in front of my parents, I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't act it. I shouldn't watch it. And I struggled with this. Even, related to all these things. Music. I mean, not sinful things, but music. The way I dress, the way I talk, what I watch. All these things. Well, eventually I started reading the Word. And I would just read the Word. I wanted to pick up. I just wanted to change, but I didn't know what to do. I tried to do it, you know. So I started reading the Word, and I just started at Genesis. Because I love history, so I started reading through the books of history, the books of law. So good. And I would just talk to the Lord as I was reading the Bible. I would just, you know, Lord, here I'm just reading your word. Here I come. You know, I just love you. And I would call on the Lord, not all the time, but every once in a while, I'd just, Lord Jesus, I'm reading. Lord Jesus. And I'd read. And sometimes you hit a tough spot like Deuteronomy or First Chronicles. And you just keep reading. You know what happened, saints? My testimony is after about 4 months, I was at home. I think it was a Friday or Saturday night. And I was at home, and I just realized, I'm at home on a Friday night. I wasn't stir crazy. I would be stir crazy. Oh man, it's 9:30. There's something going on, and I'm missing it, you know? What happened? You know what? Another element got into me. I didn't even realize it. Another element got in through my praying over the Word. Reading the Word. Why? God is in the Bible. And He wants to be your God. But if He doesn't get into you through the Word, it's just abstract. Oh, I call on the Lord. You know, that works when you're an infant. But eventually, you need to grow. So I touched this, I just realized this, and this changed my whole life. I just realized I don't need to do anything. The Christian life is not a life of doing something, of acting a certain way, putting on a tie. You know, it's actually reading the Bible, praying the Bible, and singing the Bible. You know, this is new to me. I hope it's new and fresh to you. Actually, I hope it's not new. I hope you've been doing this already. But I better move on. Okay. D says, sing, read the Word. So, sing, read. We want the Word to dwell in us richly. Verses in our head. Pray, reading. Sing reading. So I've been practicing this. You know, there's many different ways. And it's interesting in Colossians and Ephesians, when it talks about the Word, like Sean mentioned, these are sister verses. Singing the Word in Colossians. And again, letting the Word dwell in you richly in Colossians 3 and then Ephesians 5. It's being filled in spirit. Right? Well, in both of these verses, it doesn't mention reading or memorizing. It mentions singing, psalming, right? Singing, psalming. So I just realized this is a way to be filled richly. So I just practiced a little bit. Colossians 1:17. And He is before all things, and all things cohere in Him. And He is before all things, and all things cohere in Him. That's Colossians 1:17. And I just would sing that. And I would just, you know, here I'm practicing, Lord, and all things cohere in Him, and He is before all things, and He is before all things, and all things cohere in Him. I'm horrible at tunes. So that's psalming. Psalming is just, you just make up your own tune. I would encourage you, we're here to practice, right? Practice this. Take a verse, any verse, and just start singing it. That's what I did. You know, I'm not good at tunes. I didn't take music theory, so I don't know all that, but I'll sing another one that I enjoyed. But the point is, we want the Word to dwell in us richly. You know, sometimes when I sing a verse, I don't necessarily memorize it. And this is not me. This is the ministry that opens this up, right? Singing. Okay, here's another one. Anyway, it was good. I have a little experience of this. Okay. Therefore, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf that you may be filled with the full knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then it goes on, but that's pretty much, you know, I don't know how to go up or down, but you know what happened? Okay. How about we have, I'll read E. When the element of Christ has been infused into us by our singing and psalming the Word, we live Christ spontaneously and automatically.
Amen.
So I just enjoyed this. Spontaneously and automatically, because another element gets infused. You know, that's why Colossians says wisdom, right? In all wisdom. You know, Colossians 1:9, the verse that I just sang read, it says that it may dwell in you with all spiritual wisdom. You know, knowledge is with the mind. So when you read, we do need to know. But I'm sure you've realized, if you've read through Colossians, I hope you're maybe reading one chapter a day. I would encourage you. We're in the book of Colossians. We need to be pickled with this book in our memory, in our just consideration, our thought. But also, we want to pray read every verse. We want to sing read every verse. So this matter of wisdom is in our spirit. Knowledge is in our mind. Wisdom is in our spirit. Amen. So I don't just want to know the Word. And when you read Colossians 1, to me, it is, you know, Colossians unveils, like Dick shared last night. Colossians unveils the highest revelation of Christ in the entire Bible.
Amen.
Right? Highest. I mean, the first chapter has 6 sentences, 29 verses. I mean, these sentences are huge. And they're just so deep. All things cohere in Him.
Amen.
What does that mean? You could try to understand it. But if you just sing it, the divine element gets in. There's a spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is in our spirit. We don't want the trap of just trying to understand it. You may not get the element of God, right? I know we want the balance. I know a brother who he memorized almost the entire book of Proverbs. I mean, he's got chapters memorized. I mean, he just, you know, you give him one word, he'll give you the whole chapter. I know another brother who is very spiritual. You know, and to him, he doesn't read the Bible. He reads spiritual books and he watches, kind of tell evangelists share about the spiritual side. And he doesn't read the Bible, but he's very much into the spiritual side. And he's caught on that. We want to be balanced. We want to be people of the Word, but people who know our spirit.
Amen.
Who know that the Spirit is in my spirit.
Amen.
And I have a spirit of wisdom.
Amen.
So we want to sing read the Word. This is one way to let the Word dwell in us richly. So automatically and spontaneously. Okay, so I have a little experience, and then there's some brothers that they compose a little song out of some verses, so I would like them to come up and sing it. But maybe they could just come up. And we get, how about y'all just sing it? Let's do that. Okay. So if you want to follow along, it's Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13.
Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, holy and beloved, inward parts of compassion, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive.
So I would ask you, how many songs do you see composed out of the book of Colossians? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I mean, that's one. You know, there was another one we sang on the way up about giving thanks to the Father. I never heard it before. It's so good. But why? Because Colossians is such a deep, high, rich book. Maybe we think we just need to know what we're singing before we sing it. But I can testify, we don't need to know. We just need to sing it. We need more songs from the books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians.
Amen.
You know, even in the back of the hymnal, I was looking at a lot of books from Psalms. And maybe it's easy to compose that. A lot of sentiment there, but Colossians is so deep and so rich. Who would compose a song out of Colossians 3, 12, and 13? But this section is on a living in union with Christ.
Amen.
So we need to sing, read the Word.
Amen.
So I just put this as an illustration that you can do it, right? You surely can do better than me. And you can probably do better than the brothers, right? But I enjoyed that song. That's an awesome song. And you get that into you. You're not thinking about what does that mean. You're just compassion and love, you know. I mean, you're just filled with the element of God. So I was reading. I was just exercising to sing this little verse. And you know what? I was kind of like, I think we forget sometimes that the Christian life is just normal. It's just a living of Christ in a normal way. And so, I guess I was, I wanted the Lord to dwell in me richly, so I was singing this and I expected to be, you know, I had a little bit of a headache and I was just like, oh, I'm just gonna sing read. So I sang for about 45 minutes, trying to get the tune and then I was just, amen, praise the Lord, singing over and over and singing and singing and singing. And then at the end, I still had the headache. I was like, man. I thought I would just be, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I love you, Lord. I'm going to go door knocking, you know, but what happened was, you know what? Spontaneously and automatically. It's a law, you know. You just realize, we realize these laws sometimes after. You know, Newton, I believe I'm correct, Newton, when he was defining, when he was writing out what he saw as the laws of motion, that's when he discovered the law of gravity, right? He noticed an apple fall and he realized there's a force being exerted on that apple that's drawing it to the ground, right? And so there's a law there. And I just realized the Christian life is governed by laws. John 6:57 says, he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. Remember, this section is on learning to live in union with Christ. I think we all have this aspiration. But the way we do it is we need to get the element of another person into us.
Amen.
The element of Christ is conveyed to us through the Word.
Amen.
But we need to exercise our spirit over the Word.
Amen.
And then we live spontaneously and automatically.
Amen.
Yeah, there's a law there. We just need to be nourished.
Amen.
So, as we allow the Word of Christ to inhabit us, we do all things in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we want to live in union with Christ. So we can't divorce the Word from our living. We need the Word. We need to take the Word in many different ways. Even as you're reading the Bible, this is one of the practices that really strengthened me, encouraged me. even a lot of those things that I thought I would never give up. I could never give up. I couldn't see a way out of it. You know what? They're gone. I don't even know where they went. I have no desire for those things. Not from effort. And it surely took time. Took time. I had to obey. I had to allow. Eventually there'll be a point where the Lord will touch you about something. And then you just realize, I give that to the Lord. And then the peace arbitrates. And then you're happy. You're further on. Right? Learning to live in union with Christ. So, the Word of Christ is actually the embodiment of Christ. When the Word is the embodiment of Christ, is mingled with our inner being, inwardly, we are one with Christ. Awesome. Because the Lord has saturated us, permeated us, and mingled Himself with us, making us one with Him, we can do all things in His name. So, to do something in the Lord's name is not a slogan, it's not something I do. I pray in the Lord's name. I do this in the Lord's name. Actually, to do that in the Lord's name means you're one with Him. When He does it, you're doing it. Right? The Lord did things in the name of the Father. Actually, the words He spoke were not His words. They were the Father's words. Well, in the same way, as we're taking in the Word, spontaneously enjoying the Word, I went out and I had to talk to somebody to do some business. And I just spoke something to him. And even as I was speaking, I had just finished sing reading. I was amazed. You ever do that when you're talking to somebody and really you're just like, wow, what is going on? I was just sharing with him and I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't plan it, but I just felt, I had a touch in there. There's a law that's operating.
Amen.
I'm living Christ.
Amen.
I didn't have those words, but I was just like, wow, this is so easy. Easy, spontaneous. There's a law that operates. If I eat him, you surely will live him.
Amen.
So we don't want to make this well, hold on. Let me just continue with the outline. Okay, how about all together on G?
Colossians, the emphasis is that we should live in union with Christ.
Amen.
By having the first word dwelling in us, that the highest ethical relationship is truly not from our natural life,
right,
but from Christ as our life.
Amen.
May be realized for His expression.
Amen. That's right. Highest, the issue of this is the highest ethical relationships. You know, Romans 12:3, it says, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And to take that verse and say, that's right, I shouldn't think more highly of Ezra. I shouldn't think more highly of myself than Ezra. I need to honor Ezra. That's surely a high virtue. But that's missing the point. We don't want to miss Christ. God doesn't care for me. He cares for Christ, lived in me. So then when I come to Ezra, as I'm taking in this element, spontaneously, there'll just be a concern. There'll just be an intimate concern, a loving care for my brother. Not because out of any sense of duty or I just need to do this, this is the Christian life. Actually, I think that's where we all begin. Because we're filled with this as our concept and our culture. I don't think I realize, I still don't realize, it's so mysterious, culture and concepts, what I have in me. But I don't need to worry about it. I just need to keep taking in another element.
Amen.
And apart from the Word, we can't get it.
Amen.
Right? One little thing, I'll just close with this. Two little things. One is, I have a little baby girl, she's 10 months old, and I didn't know this, that when they're little babies, breast milk is the best thing for them. I knew that. But eventually, when they hit about a year, breast milk doesn't provide all the nutrients that they need. I thought, oh, this is the muscle milk for babies, right? This has got everything they need. But actually, at a certain point, they need more than that. They need more nutrients, more supply. So in our Christian life, you may wonder, why am I struggling? Why am I just kind of, maybe I hit a plateau. Maybe I don't see all these virtues in me. I don't have an appreciation for the Word. You need more nutrients. The nutrients are in the Word. This is just a law that operates. You sing, read the Word. You pray, read the Word. You get those nutrients. The nutrients are there. It's an all-inclusive book. The all-inclusive Christ is in the Bible. We just need to take it in many ways. As the Word of Christ dwells in us richly, we shall have the proper daily living. This living is in union with Christ and is the practical new man. Christ wants the new man. In the new man, there's room only for Christ. And I guess the burden that I have is that we wouldn't think that the church life is a performance. I think sometimes this is what it is. But actually, you know what the church life is? I just appreciate this. It is the spontaneous expression of the Christ we enjoy in our daily living. As we enjoy this one, and I'm realizing this, saints, I just appreciate this. As I'm enjoying this one, as I take this one in the Word, just enjoying Him, calling on the Lord, pray reading, shaking every branch, eating every berry, you know what happens? I live Christ. Spontaneously, effortlessly. Not all the time, but you know what? I just live Christ as I eat Him. Eventually, that is the church life. It's the expression of what we've been eating.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.